Before I say hey screen, there's apologies. I tried to do a solid. I thought, let you do your images. I'll get the intro out. Hey, two screeners. So, hey screeners, how you doing? It's me, the one AJ, Anthony Jordan.
I remain very proud of that intro I've created. It's me too, Nico Liro. And if you're listening on podcast and you haven't seen the intro, then please go over to YouTube, Silver Screen Dudes, and watch the intro.
That's the one. That's the one. apologies and thank you to everyone who's actually tuned in. I really appreciate it. My line of work has changed slightly. I've leveled up a bit, which is nice. But what used to be a 9-6 on a Wednesday, so when you're like, yeah, let's change date, it's not a problem. You get a rotor and you realise you're on a 9-9 and then you've got an hour's journey home, followed by getting slightly delayed at work. We won't go there. We're here. Abby, thank you.
Makes me happy I'm self-employed.
Enjoy.
Oh, bro, how have you seen the big news in the world of podcasting?
Hit me.
Well, I don't know if it's even called big news, because this is all indie podcast stuff, so calling it big news is very vainglorious.
Francis, it is indeed live. Sorry, I saw Francis.
It is indeed live. Hello, Francis.
There's your question, there's my two thumbs up, and peace sign. This is definitely live. Yeah, sorry, in the world of podcasting.
So, I've always kept this on the down low. I may have mentioned it to you one time before that there was an American podcast out there copying our format.
Didn't know that, actually.
I've never made a big deal of it because I didn't want to give these guys the oxygen, you know? Mm-hmm. And listen, we are not big shots in the world of podcasting. But the fact that we had a copycat out there means we were obviously doing something right. They were called The Top 10 Show. And bro, they were copying us down to the linguistics. They were saying like punt and stuff. I was like, hey, get the fuck out of my face, you skeety big motherfuckers. And bro, they used to work with John Campier over at Collider. And their podcast started a little bit after ours. But they've been going strong for the last sort of 5-6 years, just like we have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I tune into them because I'm like, okay, let me see if they're doing anything that we can steal in return, kind of do a you fuck me, I fuck you type thing, right? Turns out, on their last podcast, it just says, huge announcement, and they did this big kind of retrospective, well, after 5 years, and I'm like, we're 6 years, bitch. But yeah, after 5 years, we're deciding to close the podcast down. I'm just there going, I'm not even going to tweet about you because I'm not going to start a fucking war over this. But I know you listen, so ha!
Well, listen, they say imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And I will say thank you for the flattery. And I would also say, I understand why you guys want to shut it down because it's tough work. But hey, guess what? Season 6 and we're still here. Look out for season 7.
That's what's up. We're going to be doing this till we're 80, bruv. Top 10 movies with the word the in the title. I see you.
You'd be surprised how many's in there. Like, my hard drive has the stuff, like,
Let me finish. Top 10 movies with the word the in there, part 50.
Oh, dear.
That's how long we're going to be going on this, motherfucker.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to acknowledge Gavin very quickly. Gavin, good evening. We'll need to go pod squad this week because I can't hang out tonight. We'll drop my top 10 below. No possible win of the big five at the Oscars this year. Thoughts?
Oh, I think the Oscars are going to go Banshees of Inisherin.
Hey, I thought Elvis.
I think they're going to go Banshees. It's a toss-up between Banshees or Fablemans. There's an outside chance that Elvis could get it because that's the type of movie the Academy love, you know, a biographical musical, but it's very much a dark horse. I don't think The Whale, sadly, has enough momentum just looking at what's happened in the other award shows. But I am interested to see if, despite The Whale not winning, if Brendan Fraser wins Best Actor. Because it's a two-way run between him and Colin Farrell.
Hey, don't hate on young Austin. He done freaking amazing.
Austin, weirdly, is outside choice, I think, on every category. Like, unless you're talking about original scores and stuff, then Elvis is going to clean up. But Austin is very much an outside choice to win. But he's in there. Like, he's in the running. He just happens to be in a year where Colin Farrell and Brendan Fraser have turned in career best performances. So that's why I say he's outside. And Banshees of Inisherin and Fablemans and Elvis are all moved the type of movies that the elder voting demographic of the Academy love. So they're all in with a chance, but I think in each way, Austin and Elvis are third. But they're not last. You know, there's five or six people in each category. Austin's in a solid third for me. But hey, bro, listen, the Academy voted for the fish fuck movie.
Anything and everything is possible.
Bro, they don't get it right all the time. And I'm not even throwing shade at Austin here. I just mean legitimately, you voted for the fish fuck movie. Like, what are we doing, guys? What are we doing? Should we get into it?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, guys. We are acknowledging, but I appreciate it's tired. Everyone's tired. It's like nearly, as Riri has said, nearly AM. So let's get this show on the road.
Let's do it. Let's
pause this, and then we can, interact a little bit more after.
Cool.
Right. So before we do get into it, would you like to tell everyone what the movie Mount Rushmore is all about?
Yeah, it's basically a top 10 show between two best friends from school. Here's how the show works. AJ and I each get assigned a topic, we go our separate ways, we come right back into recording and deliver to you, the silver screen dudes, the film familia, our individual top 10s. This week, AJ will go first. No? Will I? Well, is it you or is it me?
I actually can't remember.
I think it's me. Boom.
I think it may be. Go for it.
I think it is me. This week, I will go first, delivering my bottom three. AJ will then deliver his bottom three. I will deliver my next two. AJ will deliver his next two. And then we will trade one apiece. If at any time, while we are rounding off our individual top 10 lists, one person has a movie in a higher position, that person will say...
punt.
And we will punt and talk about that movie when we get to the higher position. Once we have both rounded off our individual top 10 lists, we will create, in Chandler Bing's voice, the movie Mount Rushmore. These are the four quintessential diverse must-see movies of this genre, which this week is...
top 10 movies released in January. Guys, I'm going to go off the bat straight away and say, this is very much... I'm going to go into it, but this week is very much guilty pleasures. Don't expect, like, groundbreaking movies. Maybe near the end a bit more, but... yeah, it's guilty pleasure season for me. Right, but before we get into my guilty pleasures and Nico's choices and the rest of it, what happens after we, the Silver Screen Dudes, create the movie Mount Rushmore, which are the four quintessential must-see movies of the specific genre? It gets even more difficult because it heads over to you, the screeners, to crown El Capitan, El Numero Uno, the number one. And to quote Highlander, in the end, there can only be one.
The one.
With honors. So there we go. Right. How do you do that? Well, you will head on over to at Movie MT Rushmore, or more importantly, at Movie Poll for You, fronted by a good old JT of We Love Movies, who we will be retweeting the four categories. That means you only get one vote. Last week, our topic was
the best movies about food. And foodie movies.
Our four contenders were
Chef, Ratatouille, The Founder, and The 100-Foot Journey. I'd like to let you know, AJ, it's record week here. Highest ever voting tally. Rear Window has been beaten. And what's scary, beaten by quite a bit.
Okay. Right. I'm going to go fourth place because I don't know how popular it was. Even though when I said to the missus, I want you to see this film, she said, I've seen it. So hopefully more people could. But I'm going to go 100-Foot Journey.
It was always going to do badly, mate. 100-Foot Journey got 8%.
Depending on the way people saw food, The Founder at number three.
Yes, The Founder at number three, 15%.
This is tight. This is tight.
Not in the score, it's not.
There's a lot of love for the one that I came in quite high for me, but doesn't normally make my list. But Chef is an awesome movie. Screw it, I'm going to go for it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Ratatouille at number two.
Nope.
Shut up, you fucker. I knew it. So Chef at number two.
Chef at number two. But now dig this. Chef at number two only got 18%. This was a mauling. Ratatouille setting a movie Mount Rushmore record with 59%. Bruh. I think we got the list wrong last week.
Oh, wow. Bruh. Oh, wow. Congratulations to good old Remy and Linguini, the one week I put you in. Billy Mount is asking, which is better? First of all, hello, Billy. Yep. Hey, Ibrahim's back as well. Hey, hey, hey.
Great to have you back, Ibrahim. Thanks for coming, man.
Billy Mount's asking, which is better, Chef or Burn? I personally lean Chef. I do personally lean Chef. Burn is a great movie, though, but I do lean Chef.
Burn's fantastic.
It's fantastic. They're similar but different. And for that, you will have different appreciations. But I do have that slight more appreciation to Chef. Chef just gives you a few more dimensions to appreciate from a film angle.
Chef is and a sweeter, easier film.
Yeah.
Watching Chef is like watching Cool Runnings does food. It gives you that kind of nice feeling.
It makes it warm and fuzzy. And Francis is saying 69. So was it 69 or 59, bro? Or is that just 69?
No, 59.
Okay, cool. Definitely. I'm down for that, Billy. I want to see a movie where Bradley Cooper and John Favreau play chef brothers. That would
in a world.
Exactly. That would be all kinds of cool. That would be
I just want to put out there that this episode is still part of Fanuary, and this one goes out to a girl we haven't seen for a while. I know she listens sometimes. This list was picked by Saint Jackie G. So shout out to @SaintJackieG on Twitter. Please go and follow her. She's in our following list. So if you can't find her directly, you just check out our followers list. She's in there. But hello, everyone. Hello, Francis. Hello, Jen. Hey, honey. Thanks for joining. Hey, Riri. Hey, Gavin. Who else have I missed out? Ibrahim. Hello, Billy Mount. Hello. I think we are good to go. Let's do this. Get your finger ready on the punski, AJ. In at number 10 for me, Coach Carter.
Oh, hell yeah, punt.
Another one which we might be punting on. If not, let's talk. In at number 9 for me, Anya Taylor-Joy and James McAvoy, Split.
Oh, so I nearly went down that. Did I go down that road? No, I took it out for something else, which I've not had a chance to talk about enough, actually. So, yeah, it was on the list, though. It was on the list.
Split's great fun. It's a lot of people say it's their favorite in that kind of Unbreakable, weird Shyamalan trilogy. I still think Unbreakable remains my favorite of the three.
It's my least favorite.
What? You prefer Glass to Unbreakable?
I had fun with Glass.
Noit, bro. Glass sucks.
No, there were certain parts I disagreed with, but to me, it's Split, Glass, Unbreakable.
Unbreakable, Split, Glass.
Fair enough.
Oh, ugh. Nico judges you. Ugh. Fuck. Ugh. No, horrible movie. That's why you don't give him Night Shyamalan a ding dong a budget. Keep him tight and he does a good job. Split's great. So Split, you know, the old multiple split personality, multiple personality disorder, it's been done in Hollywood, but it's always fun because it's kind of one of those subject matters which allows you to have lots of scope for creativity. So it's always nice when someone comes along and says, hey, let me do this thing you've seen a million times before. Let me put some sugar, spice and everything nice on it. Shout out to the Powerpuff Girls if you got that reference. But yeah, look, so James McAvoy traps this group of teenagers and they start seeing his different personalities. He goes to therapy and you see more of his personalities. It's a very cool acting movie, if that makes sense. Like, this is very much one like, look what this actor can do with this very cool set of skills when it's given to him. It's like, yes, he does a nice job. It is a good movie. So Split is my number 9. Not the best Shyamalan movie.
I can add more to that. That is pretty much it.
It's fun. It's fun. And it was nice to see Shyamalan actually do a good movie because we don't get them that often. It's like, I feel like Shyamalan is that like two misses and one hit type guy.
Yeah. Maybe three
misses. Opposite of Guy Ritchie. Hit, miss. Shyamalan-a-ding-dong is miss, hit.
I could go with that.
My number 8. I went a bit. At this point, 2023. Fuck me, it is old school, isn't it? Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward. Tremors. Yeah.
Still to be seen.
Yeah, bro, come on. Come on now. How have you still not seen Tremors? It's such fun. It's like B-movie cowboy goodness. Like, this is the best Western ever made. Watch. Like, big fucked up worms attack a town. They can't see. They only feel vibrations in the ground. Kind of a shit situation when all you're surrounded by is freaking sand. Like, so rumbles, movements, they feel everything. If you walk, they're coming after you. It's awesome. It's literally like, it's like a fucked up seven samurai.
Okay.
Like, group of seven people try to defend their town from big worms. Fuck me, I'd never even thought about it that way. Tremors is the Western Seven Samurai. not the Magnificent Seven, it's Tremors.
I love how we're at that. I love that.
Bro, my brain just went, what? It's fucking Seven Samurai.
The more I hear about the beasts, I was thinking of like maybe Dune. You know those creatures? That's why you have to learn to walk the sand a certain way. But here you are, you're calling it Seven Samurai. Like, way to boost a boo movie, bro.
Yeah. Put some Kurosawa on it, you know? Legit, I'd never thought about Tremors that way, but it is fucking Seven Samurai. It is people, villagers defending their town from an invading force. It's fucking Seven Samurai. Come at me. Tell me otherwise. I'm putting that in a...
There you go. There's your TikTok moment. There's your real
TikTok moment. Jesus.
Tremors is Seven Samurai.
Tremors is Seven Samurai at about 16 minutes.
I don't believe we're doing this. But here we go. Sorry, remind me. I know it's going to come up later. That's not the film you got behind you, is it?
This is The Thing.
The Thing, okay. Another one that still needs to be seen. Yeah, cool.
Over to you, man.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right. Over to me. Right. In at number 10, this film gets a lot of hate. It was meant to be part of a trilogy and didn't make it. I actually enjoyed it when I got to see the preview screening from Cineworld.
Mm-hmm.
The Fifth Wave. And it is actually...
This looks shit.
Bro, there was something about this film that is redeeming to me. I don't know what it is. It was very B-Tech Hunger Games, right? I'm not going to deny that. But there was something about the journey that took place in this film. It was the Hunger Games meets Independence Day, right? That's the best way I can explain this story. And you're following Chloe Grace. Yeah, it was very on the nose. You kind of knew what was coming. What I always appreciated about this film was, no point getting into saying it's a spoiler because, hey, it happens. You get to this camp, and from her being the narrator, you see someone else become like take over in the narration, and it seems like the story continues. So as much as it wasn't the world's greatest sci-fi action adventure movie, it had me throughout. I wasn't bored in the cinema when I saw this film, right?
Fair enough.
And it look, I could have put a greater film on. I'm not denying it, but I always feel like I feel like Fifth Wave needs a mention. Trust me to say Fifth Wave, not The Fifth Wave. When it's
I appreciate you for owning that one.
Yeah, I have to, but it is on UK Netflix. If anyone wants to give it a shot, I realize it's there, and I haven't seen it since I saw it in the cinema. But I was always regretful that it didn't become the trilogy that it was meant to be. I'm aware it's a book, and I may go down that route. I may even audiobook it, provided I have time. But I really regret the fact that there wasn't the continuation to that story. So that's why The Fifth Wave gets its mention from me today. Right. Anyone who knows me knows about how sentimental this film is to me, because I don't know why it was just my rom-com movie of its time. I have the DVD twice because I had it and a friend also got it for me as a gift because they knew how much I loved it. I am talking about Katherine Heigl in 27 Dresses. Now, again, many people hate this shit and I own it as a guilty pleasure. When I was like January, I was like, yes, that's a January release. This is my film. It was my comedy. I'm not going to turn my back on it. Essentially, it's the story of she's not a reporter. She's someone who has been in this industry, has a major crush on her boss, but never finds the guts to do it, and has been a bridesmaid 27 times, never a bride. Someone finds out about it. Good old James Marsden. Is that the guy who played Cyclops? James? That's
his name. Yeah.
Yeah, James Marsden. Yeah, he finds out about it, starts to go undercover to find out who is this lady and what is she all about. I'm sure you could see what comes next, but it's always just been one of my ultimate guilty pleasure movies. So that's where we are. 27 Dresses. None of these.
Jen agrees with you, by the way. AJ, books are good. Agree about the lack of continuation for the fifth wave. It needed to be done.
Thank you, Jen. I am so glad someone else could agree with me on that, because I really was like, I think, again, I hadn't done a review at the time, but I came back and I was like, bro, check it out. It didn't get the world's greatest release.
No.
It was gone before it came, and just, it wasn't favourable. But I don't think the film was as bad as people made it out to be. Personal opinion.
This Fair is enough. Exactly what
it says. Yeah, it is what it is. Right. In at number 8, I love this film as well. Licked the DVD off my sister. Love the soundtrack to it. Save the Last Dance.
Yeah, okay. I didn't even know. I wasn't aware it came out in January. I haven't seen this for years, but this is a nice movie.
Yeah, I really like it. It's the story of a girl who's lived in a very much uptown part. Maybe she lives in Chicago. I'm not sure if it's there. But anyway, she moves to Chicago. She lives uptown and she moves to the suburbs of Chicago to live with her dad after her mum dies in a car accident. And she's adapting to the new lifestyle. And along the way, what more do you want me to say without calling race? Like, it's a young white girl who ends up in the black.
She went from Westlife uptown girl to J-Lo's Jenny from the Block.
Yeah, literally, and that's exactly what she done. She literally went from Black Swan to Jenny on the Block. It's exactly what she does. But I love the soundtrack to this film. I thought the dance moves were awesome. It's just one of those films I've always just had a great moment with. Saw it in the cinema. As I said, nicked the DVD off my sister. It's one of those that I've always just.
And homegirl who does that dance off with her boyfriend. Watch me squash.
Yeah, come on. Yes. That such line, that scene. Ingrained up here.
Yeah, yeah. Watch me squash this shit. It's so good.
Yeah.
Honestly, Save the Last Dance, it's harmless fun. It's about a girl who gets moved to the ghetto and then who still has dreams of going to dance.
Well, no, yard. Shuts off her dream, and it's her new boyfriend who encourages her to chase her dream.
The ghetto made her remember, blad.
Remember your roots.
That's literally the message of the film, isn't it? But we'll take a white girl to do it.
Okay. Yeah. You can live the dream as long as you're the right
color. Yeah, as long as you're white. What's that great line from Family Guy? So come and see the USA. They'll treat you right unless you're black or gay or Cherokee. good. So that was your 8, yeah?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
All right, guys. Just before we continue, let's have a quick listen from our sponsors. In a non-stop world where you've just got information galore and entertainment galore coming at you left, right, and center, in one ear and out the other, in your eyes and into your brain, we here at the Movie Mount Rushmore would like to talk to all of our film fans about Newsly, a new all-in-one audio super app for iOS and Android. It picks up the top trending articles on the web on topics you choose at any given moment and reads them to you in a natural human voice, so you don't have to worry about hearing something like this. Take me to your leader. The entire web becomes listenable for the first time all in one place. Browse articles from topics you choose and start playing. Stop scrolling, start listening. You can follow literally any topic as specific as you like, from sports, tech, business, science, Bitcoin, or even the Kardashians, if that's your jam. It will find you the latest articles and read them to you aloud. And they even have podcasts there as well. Explore trending podcasts from over 80 countries. Movie Mount Rushmore is there too. I recently started using it as my default podcast app. They even have digital radio if you want to play it on those long car journeys to work. Or preferably listen to the Movie Mount Rushmore podcast on those car journeys on your long car journeys to work. But download and use Newsly for free now from www.newsly.me or from the link in the description below. And you can use the code RUSHMORE and receive a 1 month free premium subscription. Stop scrolling, start listening, and enjoy Newsly just like we do here at the Movie Mount Rushmore podcast.
Shout out to Newsly.
Shout out to Newsly. Get on it if you haven't already, guys. It's a real time favor. Yeah.
We've been putting it out there, guys. Get on it. It's awesome. All kinds of awesome.
All right, my number seven then. In at number seven for me. So I think it's important to say that when St. Jackie G put out this suggestion, it was very much of the, you know, talk about the dead zone, the January dead zone. But AJ and I are based in the UK. That's kind of not a thing for us. Like, we're blessed in the UK that January is actually really good.
Oscar bait season, really.
Literally, yeah. Oscar bait season. So all the really fucking good movies tend to come out right now. So I tried to go a little bit old school with Tremors, but there's not going to, you know, there's so many good movies that have come out in the last few years that I'm going to pull for one of the more recent ones. Michael Mann's 1917.
The one that still eludes me. Is that the one that's a one shot?
Yeah, but all one shot. All one fucking shot. And it's not Michael Mann. Why am I? Is it Michael Mann? I feel like I've just made a massive boo-boo there. Is my mind not working today? I'm very tired. In my defense. Sam Mendes, fucking dickhead. I'm so sorry. Sam Mendes, who directed Skyfall. Dude, this movie's incredible. It's not often that World War One actually gets highlighted, but for the way that warfare was conducted in World War One with the trenches, this one shot lends itself so well to that. They're just these sweeping shots going through, in and out of the trenches and through broken villages, and like what he accomplishes with trickery to make it look like one shot is unreal, bro. Like, this is filmmaking of the highest degree. This is what you call kind of kayfabe cinema magic, because the average audience member is going to see it as one shot. Go to the cinephile level now. Go the step beyond that, where you're not just watching it for entertainment, and actually try and visualize how the fuck he put all these shots together and then edited it to make it look like one shot. It's unreal. It's freaking unreal. It's a very simple story at its basis. It's like, young soldier is told, deliver this letter to this character who's lost a load of brothers. And I'm like, I swear I've seen this story before.
I was going to say the prelude to Captain Saving Ryan, yeah?
Literally, it's the same fucking story. Literally. I was like, you're taking the piss a little bit, no? Like, people are going to call you for this. But despite the story being literally a carbon copy, the journey you go through with this one-shot trickery, bro, it's worth the price of admission. It's so good.
Awesome. No, it's been on the list for the longest while, to be honest. Just not had the... Well, here we go. This month, this week could have been the week, but it was weird to find the list. And, you know, you end up playing the game of, where are you playing the January game? Is it here? Is it there? And then I found like I did make it kind of more US, to be honest. I kind of went down this whole bit. I found one thing that just showed like box office, and I was like, oh, okay, right. Oh, seen that. And then it was like, right, squeezing what I can. So yeah, sadly, yeah, that one was missed, because I probably would have squeezed it in.
And yes, mixed memorabilia. 1917 is all one shot, and it's insane. Right. My number six then. One of my favorite Batman. No, it is my favorite Batman movie, and it came out in January. Batman: The Dark Knight Returns, Part 2. The best part, which has got the greatest comic book line of all time. Remember the one man who beat you. I don't care who the fuck you are. Everyone knows nobody beats Superman, bro. I remember when Batman versus Superman Snyder movie was announced when I was still in Thailand, when it was just announced. And I had people saying to me, like, isn't this really dumb? Because no one can beat Superman and Batman doesn't have any superpowers. I was like,
sit down.
Let me school you. Batman also doesn't have kryptonite, except Martha.
That is the worst part of that film, yeah. But yeah.
Yes. Focusing on the anime, though, this is sensational. It's like the first half of this second part is kind of like Martin Scorsese's King of Comedy, with the Joker coming on the talk show and then fucking everyone up and then finally actually dying, to Superman having to be sent into Gotham to take care of Batman because he's gone all warriors come out to play.
Oh, yeah, that's the
fight. Oh, the fight. You can't believe that you're buying into it. That's how well the movie's made. It's like Kevin Owens fighting Roman Reigns. I know I'm going to be eating it. The first 20 minutes, I'll be like, I'm not buying it. Then KO will do something and I'll be like, you got me believing, Kevin. You can do it. Right? You got me believing. This is like this. You're kind of believing. Is Batman actually going to beat this motherfucker? I'm waiting for the turn when Superman gets him back. Oh, no, he won. Shit. And he didn't just win. He grabbed him and he said, and for the rest of your years and your most quiet moments, I want you to remember the one man who beat you. Ah, come on. It doesn't fucking get better than that. Badassery of the highest level.
Yeah.
It's so
I bad. Must admit, those films are a series that I need to watch again. Watched it for the Batman purposes, but I do need to watch it again and really embrace it. The length kind of threw me the first time, and I'm just like, I need to just take them in and enjoy it. But they are good films. So highly recommended.
That's so good. Jen likes my 1917 choice. Nico, a beautiful masterpiece, and the one-shot effect brings you into the journey where one literally does not want to blink in case you miss something. Take a bow, Jen. Well said. You get a round of applause for that. Silver screen thumbs up for Jen. I like that. So that was my 6. AJ, you're 7.
Bro, this is the film that, again, not a lot of people love, but you came back and saw it first, and I remember the comedy behind it, and I was like...
I know where you're going.
Yeah. Robert De Niro, Zac yes. Efron, Dirty Grandpa.
Fuck, yes. I don't want to hear shit. This movie's good. This movie is funny. I don't want to fucking hear it. Robert De Niro doing that? Fuck you. I will take this any day over Meet the Parents.
So here's the thing. I remember seeing this and Daddy's Home. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I remember Daddy's Home edged it. Yeah, I can go for a Will Ferrell film, edged it for me to prefer. It is what it is. However, some of the comedic moments, and I must admit, I heard of Zac Efron. I saw him in 17 again, but I'd never watched High School Musical. But you know, sometimes you get stigmatized with some characters.
Sure.
I can't remember if Baywatch was before or after this, but between Baywatch and this, I said, this guy is pure gold. Some of the moments that happened between him and De Niro and the comedy moments, all I'm saying is Zac Efron and the Bumblebee. I cannot go any further. But I remember dying in the cinema, and it's not often I have been in the cinema and just laughing. Like, you can have a ha-ha giggle. And there are moments when you are dying with laughter.
The Bumblebee. The Bumblebee is the best thing I saw since The Hangover. I'll stand on that mountain alone. I don't care. When they wake up the morning after The Hangover and they're all like, what the fuck? And then they walk into the bathroom and there's a fucking tiger. Like, that's funny. That shit's funny. All right? The Bumblebee in this Dirty Grandpa movie is funny as hell. And I'm sorry, Robert De Niro being told you're a dirty but yet self-conscious old grandfather who wants to pork. I'm gonna run with this.
So yeah, it's literally a grandson who's quite like that, quite white collar, the, you know, straight arrow and whatnot, and his grandmother's just passed, and he's taking granddad on a road trip, if I remember rightly, and granddad is just horny as hell. He's not mourning. He's out to have some fun. He's on heat. He is smoking stuff he shouldn't be smoking. He's hanging out in places where he shouldn't be hanging out. He does Ice Cube, and people are saying to him, "Say the N-word." There were so many golden moments from it, and you know what? I have fun memories of Dirty Grandpa, and I was like, you know
so
what?
So much.
Bring it back. Bring it
so
back.
Much. I don't want to hear shit. It's funny. And it's got one of the greatest movie line endings I've ever heard. Are you coming or are you dying? I'm sorry. That's so good. That is so good.
I forgot about it.
It's such a good line. Like, are you coming or are you dying? Love it. Love that for days. You're number six.
Right. Okay. Number six. Another one of my... One of the horror franchises that some... You know, the teeny horror franchises that I've always loved. And it was the first I saw of the franchise. So it's going to get a shout out today. Final Destination 2.
Part one. That was a weird...
Bro, I don't know why. It was the best poster I had, but it had part one on it. And I was like, why did it say part one?
I didn't have the edit. Part one.
Part two.
Are you taking screenshots from AJ Vision?
No, it wasn't actually. I don't know where the hell it was, but yeah, that was it. So there's something always fun about Final Destination, the idea of escaping death, but death is going to come back for you. And it's not like the, you know, it's not like you're seeing the Grim Reaper. It's just these weird and wacky ways, and it's the premonition that comes first. And as much as I've seen the other Final Destinations, that highway scene in number two, to open the film, I remember because I was like, I'll find it. Again, remember, I don't do horror, right? For the reasons of it's nothing. Sitting there watching this, and I'm like, here we go. Then the accident takes place. I was like, whoa, okay, I'm interested. Let's see what happens next. Like, that's what I remember with this film. And it,
take
it,
the it, AJ, provide body dysmorphia.
Maybe. But it was just the fact that I was like, okay, this is interesting. And it was so interesting that it made me pay attention to the rest of the franchise. So Final Destination 2 always has a little soft spot for me for a franchise that in a genre I don't normally pay attention to.
It's a fun franchise. You can't really hate on Final Destination 2 and be taken seriously because it means you're taking it seriously. Like, have some fun. Nothing wrong with that movie. Awesome. Cool. So just before we cross into our top five, let's hear from one of our other sponsors.
Hello, film family. Nico here from the Silver Screen Dudes, and I am here today to talk to you about Movie Palette, this beautiful piece of artwork that you can see in front of me here. Movie Palette is something that I think is going to be absolutely perfect and essential for our existing Silver Screen Dudes, Movie Mount Rushmore film family. The geeks that exist in our community and the passion that you all have for film, I genuinely think this product is going to resonate with you. Here's how Movie Palette works. A movie palette is a distinctive way to enjoy your favorite movie displayed artistically on canvas. The movie palettes are carefully crafted by digital artists who choose the dominant colors from each scene of your favorite movie. These vibrant colors are arranged side by side in stripes on a high quality canvas. The stripes are displayed in chronological order, and the width of each corresponds to the length of the movie scene. The result is an intriguing piece of artwork that gives you a unique view of movies that you've seen many times before. This one I've got here happens to be from my favorite sci-fi movie, The Thing. And as you can see, we start off in the ice here, and we finish off all dark with Kurt Russell in the snow, just about to die. Is he the thing? Is he not? The entire movie, scene by scene, is captured in this canvas. If you're not a fan of The Thing, don't sweat it. If you head on over to moviepalette.com now, and you click on the All the Movies tab, you will see that there are nearly 2,500 movie palettes already there from the world's most popular movies, including IMDb's top 250. There's even some TV shows in there. Can't find what you're looking for? Unlikely, but possible with the knowledge of our film community. But you can actually send Movie Palette the movie you love with the date that that movie was made in, and they will create a custom movie palette of the movie that you send them. And the best part is, as they are friends of the show, if you use code SILVER15 right now, you will be able to get 15% off all your orders from Movie Palette. So guys, honestly, this, as you can see from the live stream already, is hanging on the back of my wall. I love it. It's really added something to the streams. It's added something to my workspace. I can't recommend it enough. And as I've said already, given the type of audience that we have and the film fans that we have in our community and the attention to detail that we discuss every single week on the Movie Mount Rushmore podcast, I genuinely think you guys are going to love Movie Palette. So use code SILVER15 right now and get 15% off your orders and get a Movie Palette up on your wall. And now back to the show.
There it Opa, is.
Opa. Welcome,
Pedro, podcast. In the house. Hello, Pedro. Great to have you here, brother.
Movie palette. Absolutely awesome. I do love this.
Get one. It's very cool.
Hey, bro. Payday's coming. It's on the list.
Right. Cool. My number five, then. We are into our top five. I mentioned that this movie drew a tear from me in the cinema. I think it's one of the most wonderful, real, true-to-life war stories I've seen in the last 20 years. Mel Gibson's Hacksaw Ridge.
Great film.
Adore.
Is this a UK January? Because I didn't see it on my list.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Great. This might even be a Poland January. I may be reaching. I may be reaching here. But
it was January somewhere.
It was January somewhere. That's what I'm saying. Listen, this is probably my favorite war movie of the 21st century. I love the fact that we for once didn't concentrate on a big set piece, a big battle, a big operation. We concentrated not on a fictional individual or a group of individuals, but on one individual whose story, for me, is so fucking powerful because it's so against the grain for what a war movie should be.
Yeah, 100%.
The man who was rewarded with the Medal of Honor for World War II, and yet, forget, never fired a shot, never picked up a gun. Like, what a story.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
It is touching. It's touching.
I think people have forgotten just how fucking good Andrew Garfield is, because that guy's not getting enough roles. I want to see more of Garfield again.
I agree. What was the last one? Tick, Tick, Boom? Was that the last film?
He was fucking great in that too.
Tops. That was awesome. Such an awesome film. Bring him back.
I love Andrew Garfield. Absolutely love him. And I think his whole skill set is on display here. It's a wonderful film. Violent in parts, because, you know, this is a Mel Gibson movie. It does...
violent, and it's still a war film, let's be honest, you know what I mean? That's to it. Highlight who he is, you need that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your number five, AJ.
All right, my number five, Donde Estas. This is a film I knew would never make your number five list. You may even plan it for worst.
Okay.
But I do enjoy it. The rest of the franchise is absolutely shit. I'm talking Liam Neeson, Taken.
That's all you, brother.
Bro, I actually really enjoyed the first one. I you know, like the same way you could defend Dirty Grandpa, I just don't understand the hate on this one. I know you're going to say, old man Neeson doing his thing. Like, I'm aware that there was a film like The Grey, which is Taken with Wolves. I'm not. There's a limit where I'm going to draw it. But the concept behind this one, where it's a dad who seemed overprotective and tries to put it all out, and his daughter goes on holiday and is kidnapped. And from a phone call, he gives her the instructions of what to do in order for him to, you know, yeah, they are going to take you. And this sucks. I'm not happy about it. But it will be for a while. I'm coming to get you. And he goes on that mission. It was one of those films that caught my attention in a time I didn't think it would. And it really delivered. Two and three, I think, are just a waste of time, in honesty. But Taken one, no, it deserves flowers, man.
The ass-kicking granddad.
We just promoted Robert De Niro. Why not? Ass-kicking granddads are cool.
Fair play. Pedro Santos, All Quiet on the Western Front. I've seen the 1933 one, but I haven't seen the new one. And then Pedro goes on to say, I think Downfall would be my pick for best war film of the century. Hard to argue. Ibrahim El Mala says, you've got to admit it, Mel Gibson's directing is fantastic. Whenever I see his name in director, I just know it will be outstanding. Pretty much, yeah.
Do you have only one Mel Gibson?
Do I have any one Mel Gibson? I believe yes.
Yeah, I kicked myself when I scrolled down the list a bit further and I found that Apocalypto was there. I was like,
no!
Yeah, I was fuming.
Fuck!
But Apocalypto had a January release. I was
fuming. Yeah, that would have been high.
It was just too late, and I was willing to sacrifice a lot of films for that. I like, obviously, Fifth Wave would have obviously just been onto the next one. Like,
fuck, I didn't realise that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually downloaded on my phone, but I just did not have enough time. Just off time.
Bro, watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it. And Pedro Santos, you're damn right, Apocalypto is amazing. I would say Mel Gibson's best movie. And Jen asks, does anyone else's family always quote Taken when going on a crazy adventure?
My ultimate thing at any given time, if I need to tell someone good luck, they are getting the Taken meme. There is no in-betweens on that. No in-betweens. So, yeah, it's quotable.
It's a good one. So that was your five, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, my four, I got to bring in my girl Alicia Vikander here. This film is incredible. Ex Machina.
I didn't see that on the list. That would have definitely made the list.
Right. Yeah, that's generally.
Again, it's all to do with the territories on the release on this one.
Sure. This one, funnily enough, I thought was US.
It may well be. If it was, I didn't make note of it. Again, there's so many lists. You know, you're seeing like 30 years worth of films and you're seeing names on a board. Yeah, it may have escaped me. It may have escaped me. So that is annoying.
It's we have spoken quite a bit about Ex Machina, but to revisit, first off, I think there's a certain mastery to being able to shoot a film all in one location and not make it boring. That's an incredible achievement in itself. When you've got three people who are putting in some career best acting performances with Alicia Vikander, Oscar Isaac, and Donald Gleeson all bringing their A game to a story that, as with all of the AI movies, makes you question, you know, what is it to be alive? What is the value of life? That's what I love about these AI movies. When they're done well, it all gets very metaphysical, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it looks like it was released first in the UK. So yeah, it was definitely a January release.
Cha-ching.
Nice.
Don't be checking up on me like that.
I was just intrigued if it hit the UK, the US in January. That's all it was. It's not that you were wrong. Look, bro, a January release is a January release. If you said it was released in Germany in January, I can't argue with you. It's a January release. Do you know what I mean?
What's your what is your number four, AJ?
Right. One that I
can't damn, remember. This is a quick show tonight. Have we been talking movies or not?
We have, but I think it's just movies. And I mean, everyone's been interactive. I'm not dissing anyone, so it's just the way it's been. Amazing what you can do. I mean, hey, it's late. But anyway, let's not deviate now. Yeah, we even got Edmonton. Right, so I can't remember what topic I got this in for. Oh, supporting actors, I think. But anyway.
Okay.
Matt Damon, Robin Williams, Good Will Hunting. Yeah.
It's, well, I'm not going to fight that, am I?
No, you're not. No, not a chance. Not a chance would you ever do that. But yeah, amazing film. Absolutely amazing film. You know, we're talking about a troubled genius is the only way you could word it. Someone with so much genius, but he doesn't want to embrace his talent. It's there for him, but he chooses to not be there for the fear of losing what he has, that what is precious to him at the moment. And it takes the wonderful mind, the wonderful teachings and talkings with Robin Williams' character to unlock this potential from a young gentleman. And it's stellar throughout. There's nothing to hate on in this film. It's just golden. And that monologue about, yeah, you're bright, but what do you know about life? My God, when it's like, yeah.
I ask you about art. You probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo, you know a lot about him, right? Life's work, political aspirations, him and the Pope, sexual orientation, the whole works, right? But I bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You've never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. And that's all I know.
That's more... more than I do, but it's those bits that make you stop and think what appreciation is.
It? It's fucking that the way he just like says, fuck you, bring it. Just
it's such a shutdown, but it's such a thought-provoking shutdown.
Your move, chief.
And the way he just taps him on the shoulder and up he goes. It's like, yeah, yeah, come at me. Come at me.
That. Every time I see Robin Williams movies now, it still makes me get all teary-eyed. Ooh. I miss him so much, AJ. It's ridiculous.
It's sad. Like, you know, it's one of those things. You look at life at the age that we are, and the people you grew up idolizing and admiring are fading, sadly, and leaving, you know? Mm. It's just the way it is. And then you look at those who had gone way before their time and for unfortunate circumstances, and you're like, man, like the appreciation and the love. But you know, this is why we say it, guys. It's okay not to be okay, and reach out to people. Like, we, you know, sooner get that phone call at 2 a.m. than that phone call at 2 a.m. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those sad moments in life. But yeah, RIP Robin.
Do you realize that next year will be a decade since he died?
And I still remember the shock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The shock that happened. And I remember watching this film. I think it's a film with him and John Travolta. I'm sure it's him and Travolta, where they play, like, they foster some kids. They're two older guys who foster some kids. And I had just watched that film, like, the day before. And I Googled, like, Robin Williams died. And the shock, I jumped up. And I always remember this because my aunt was on holiday and I was staying in her room. I jumped out of her room to go into my brother's room to tell him, my God, Robin Williams is dead. And I remember clipping my toe against the computer, and that pain meant nothing compared to the shock that was going. I was like, Robin Williams, and they're like, suicide. You're like, but no, this guy's always smiling. No, it doesn't make it. Yeah, such a sad story.
It's literally like our losing our Mr. Rogers, isn't it?
Yeah, literally. It is that.
Bro. God, I missed that, man. He was such a beacon of, like, positive light. Like, it's so hard to quantify how important that is, you know, that one man could bring so much joy to so many people over so many generations. Like, you want to talk about national treasure? Fucking put a statue of Robin Williams in the Smithsonian.
Yeah. Oh man,
yeah, I missed that motherfucker, man. That was your four, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Goodwill Hunting, good. All right, AJ, I'm breaking our rules, sadly, a little bit here. Because one of the rules is kind of we don't see movies that are literally out, like, we don't necessarily add movies that are out, like, now.
It's fair, bro. Elvis made the cut.
I'm doing this, so let me say the movie. My number three, Damien Chazelle's brand new movie, Babylon, is
you
my number
fucker.
Three.
When the hell did you get to see that?
It's on Instagram, bro. I saw that Monday night.
I haven't even seen the review pop up. That's nuts.
It's on Insta, bro.
Bro.
Yeah, so my number three is Babylon. The reason I'm putting Babylon is because something Riri Thomas has said here. Nico, I found your review of Babylon interesting. You seem to love it, but a lot of critics and reviews have slated it. You're the first out-and-out positive one. We'll be seeing it on Friday. What is wrong with everyone? I don't want to be that one guy in a group of people who's saying everyone else is wrong and I'm right, but everyone else is wrong and I'm right. This movie's so fucking good. It's Singing in the Rain meets The Wolf of Wall Street. What do you want? Like, it's like Singing in the Rain with lots and lots and lots of coke. It's got some of the best jazz numbers I've ever seen. The acting is off the chain good from Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie. Like, it's frenetic the way that you feel you're on, like, this drug-fueled journey in The Wolf of Wall Street. Chazelle's managed to capture that somehow in here. And yet, it is an exercise in restraint because you've got these crazy party scenes. Bro, I'm in crazy party, feel like you're there, like Project X level. The opening number in this movie is like, what is going on? I'm loving this. Like, it's insane. But yeah, it somehow manages to balance all of that crazy party society stuff of Hollywood with moments of morbid calm, like having to say to an actor, you were good, your time's over. You know, the universal truth that every single human being has to go through, like when you're doing sports and you can't quite do what you were doing a few years ago, like when you're running and you're getting out of breath faster than you used to. The universal truth that every single human being lacks the humility to know when they're past their sell-by date for any given thing that's relevant to them that they used to love and that they're still trying to do. It's a universal fucking truth. And the fact that they've somehow managed to put this in so powerfully into a movie, which is essentially about corporate exploitation, cocaine, and sex. I mean, fuck me, Damien Chazelle's done it again.
I must admit, I knew it was out, and I've been trying. Well, it's on the radar, and I've actually got a Picture House ticket, and that might have been the film to see. I know, what's his name? Michael Ward's got a film out as well, which has kind of caught my eye, but Babylon was like the front runner. I'm still intrigued. I'm still intrigued. So I want to see that. And I'm glad it's got, I haven't heard any reviews, put it that way, but I'm glad you're giving it a positive. Because, yeah, but bro, when I say positive,
studio millions, unfortunately.
But you know what? Like, Amsterdam was just out and out negative reviews. So at least there's one glimmer of hope. For
Babylon was fucking great, but I think it's for the reason Pedro's saying, you know, it's a 3-hour runtime. But I would say it's 3 hours the way The Wolf of Wall Street is 3 hours. Like, for me, I don't feel the length in The Wolf of Wall Street. For me, The Wolf of Wall Street is like, it flies by.
There was a point where I could feel it, but it didn't bug me. That's what I didn't mind with Wolf of
Wall Street. That's Babylon. Yeah. That's Babylon. And the reason I'm putting it in is not, I'm not just caught in the adrenaline prison of I saw it recently, so I love it. The movie is legitimately fantastic, and I really, really am encouraging all of the cinema fans and our film family, please go and support this movie, because it's really important that studios continue to pay for these sort of movies. We can't just have big budgets saved for the boom, boom, bang, bang blockbusters and for the superhero movies. We do need to have some non-action, non-big IP movies that have big budgets, or it's just going to become indie stuff. Really important that this movie gets supported. Please go and watch it.
I also feel, though, and I'm not knocking it, Phil, and this is not just Babylon, this is films in general. Can we go back to the 2-hour mark, please? You know?
But there's plenty of films like that. Cocaine Bears apparently got an hour 20 runtime.
Nice. Nice.
Like, there's plenty of films that have got the quick hour runtime, but please support this movie. Please,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I will do. I'm just saying. That's what I was going for. Right. Okay. Let's pull out this punt that we had from earlier.
Okay.
Coach Carter.
Great film.
No, not according to the screen, is it not? That's a different story. No, I've always loved that. It's kind of like the same way I talk about Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting. Someone who can see opportunity, someone who wants better for the next generation, and that's what Coach Carter was. You know, it's a man who could have just been a basketball coach and just let the students just play basketball and take them to wherever it had to be, but it wasn't that. It was the reality that, yeah, there's you guys in my squad who want to be basketball players. But so does the other school. So does everywhere across the entire United States. It's not that easy to become the NBA star that you believe you're going to be just because you're that guy. I mean, mm-hmm. We can talk about a guy who was that guy in our school. He ain't a basketball player now. Facts. That's just where it goes, you know? And he's instilling the facts of, yeah, like, we'll still do basketball, but what about the other side? What is your fail safe? What is your backup plan? And that's what he shows them. And it's instilling that and giving these guys hope. And where the school is like, but you're killing our budgets. And, you know, this is our major opportunities. It's like, it's not about that. It's not about us. Let's not be selfish about it. Let's make it a bigger story. Let's invest in our future in the best way possible.
Yeah.
That's what he done. He taught these young boys how to be men. And I just love the story.
It's a great story. Fucking great story. You're not going to hear any reproach from me. Just don't put it up against the movies it went up against last time.
I'm scared to even do it this time, but it is where it's at.
I wouldn't advise it. Not this time. And just to show that I'm not being caught in an adrenaline prison, my number two, I'm keeping it Damien Chazelle, Whiplash. Because how do you not include Whiplash? Like, how do you talk about a movie where Whiplash is able to be included and not include Whiplash.
Oh. No, that right? Ex Machina hurt. Whiplash hurts even more.
Oh, so much. So much. One of the great, great, great little modern movies. One of the great modern acting performances from J.K. Simmons. One of the best movies about music ever. The story of an aspiring drummer who comes into contact with a tyrannical teacher who literally puts him through physical and emotional torture to get the performance out of him that he believes, but at what cost?
Sums up perfectly, and I'm just pissed off right now because that would definitely been in there. That would have been in there, but as long as it's in there, it's in there, and that's what I'm happy for. So let's celebrate that.
Yeah, my bro.
Cool.
Thank you. You're number two.
I'm really not going to waste much time on because it's a silver screen favorite. It's been brought up time and time again. It's as far as I'm concerned, Guy Ritchie's best movie. It's a diamond heist with absolutely crazy antics to the highest degree. If you haven't seen it, please get to see it real quick. And if you want to hear Brad Pitt do an Irish accent like you will never believe before, so much so that he can separate the difference between Irish and pikey. I'm not trying to be offensive. It's what the film says.
You said it. The fucking lid's off. We can all say it now. Pikey, 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 pikey.
But absolute great thing. And this is the film that put Jason Statham on the map, not that we can say how far that map has gone recently, but hey, it's always good fun to see Jason. And this was before we even knew Jason.
All right for himself, he's married to Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, and he's worked with Sylvester Stallone. I'd say he can look back on that and go,
just saying, in the recent, Hobbs and Shaw's the last thing I've seen, but let's be honest, this is before we even knew Jason could throw. This was just the comedic side of Jason, and it was absolute gold. And again, I'm not shitting on Jason Statham. I love the guy, but I'm just saying I've not heard from him in a while. That's all I was saying, but yeah. Absolutely.
Vince Grimabilia says Snatch is a masterpiece.
Thank you very much.
Yes, it is.
Right. That I can't.
Francis Lalonde, have you seen Snatch?
I feel like Francis is being Matilda right now. It's your turn, Francis. Have you seen it?
Your turn. Have you seen The Snatch?
That's a different film. I warn you now.
The best type of snatch. I wonder if someone's actually, you know how they used to do those really bait porno ripoffs? Like, one of my personal favorites was In Diana Jones and the Temple of Poon. Like, that one always made me laugh.
One of my colleagues at work is always, he always makes a joke that he's aware of another one. This is more of a video game ripoff. What was it? Whore of Duty. That was it. Call of Booty, Modern Warfare.
Call of Booty, very good.
Yes,
it's very, very good.
Call of Booty, Modern Warfare. So yeah,
they had Star Sluts as well, which was the Star Wars ripoff. That was funny.
There we go. There's so many. Saving Ryan's Privates or something, wasn't it? There's another one.
School of Cock.
There we go.
I wonder if someone's just done one called The Snatch. It's produced by AJ. Very good.
Here we go. So after
Flesh Gordon, yes. Flesh Gordon, I love it. Oh, you know, sometimes you come up with, you see those games like insert that. My one of my favorites was put the word queef into a movie's title by swapping one word in and out for queef. Bro, the best one I saw was Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Queefs. that one fucking killed me.
The other one that you done, and I remember dying with laughter when it got posted, was you said in the ass, add in the ass to a film and make it what it was, and someone put 12 Angry Men in the ass. There we go.
Whiplash in the ass.
This was a family friendly show, but hey, there we go.
Hey, listen, it says on our YouTube listing not suitable for kids, all right? I'm taking shit on this one.
There we go.
Oh my goodness,
we just proved it. Thank you to The Snatch.
In the ass. Oh, good God. The Dark Knight queefs. This is very bad. I'm sorry. Guys, just before we reveal our worst, for those of you who have stayed up so late watching with us, really appreciate it. Could you please now down in the comment section either drop your Rushmore, so your top four movies released in January, or give us a top 10. And while you're doing that,
my worst was very easy, AJ.
Go.
From the guys that doesn't like those bullshit Marvel movies.
Oh, fuck's sake, here we go.
Here we go, yeah. From Uwe Boll, the shittest movie of the 21st century. The movie that makes The Room look good, yeah? I'm talking Alone in the Dark. A movie that is so shit, I could not even find a fucking movie poster with good quality to put on our stream. That's how shit this movie is. Even the internet says, no, fuck this movie. Like he said, fuck these bullshit Marvel movies. Uwe Boll, to this day, I will quote my best friend, you remain the biggest wank stain in the creative world.
Oh, man. Was it Dead or Alive? No, which one was it that you made me watch?
House of the Dead.
House of the Dead. And I thought, what the hell? Was Tara reading that as well?
Yeah.
What is she doing?
Uwe Boll.
Oh, probably. That and Sharknado. God bless this girl. American Pie was a long way away. Yeah. Bills need paying. Yeah. Oh, God. I've not seen
cocaine's
this.
Cocaine's not cheap, remember. Brother.
Fact. Yeah.
Creep in the dark. Yes, Francis. The silence of the queef. Yes, the silence.
Hello, Clinic.
Oh, God, this is taking a weird turn. Queef in the dark, silence of the queef. Yeah. There's another real moment.
There we go. Oh, dear.
Oh, very good. 107, silence of the queef.
Just another one for your in the arse. Your number 8 would be perfect.
What was my number 8? Wow. Tremors in the arse. Your number 8 would be perfect for queef.
My number 8? What was my number 8? Save the last queef.
Save the last queef or queef the last dance? I don't know. Both work great.
I mean, to be fair, number 9, 27 queefs. But we...
Wow.
Number 10.
Number 10. Fifth queef.
Or equally, fifth wave in the ass.
Wow, fifth wave in the ass. Dirty grandpa in the ass. Oh my God, the show's just deteriorated.
We were so professional. Fun. We kept it to a time limit, and here we go. Just before. Oh,
Jesus Christ. What's just happened?
Apologies.
Oh no. Oh, go on. Let's see if your worst can give us some in the arse or queef stuff.
Oh, it can.
Yes, fantastic. What is it?
Because it is Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, Bad Boys for Life.
In the arse.
Or Bad Queefs for Life.
Bad Queefs for Life. No, Queef Boys for Life.
Right, there we go. Didn't see that one.
Queef Boys! Oh shit, the show is done. We fucked the show up tonight.
It was so professional. Anymore. People would have been like, listen to these guys, they know their film. And then we just went into that one game. And
We've not done good by the movie industry tonight. We've been very, very queefy tonight. I'm sorry. Oh my goodness.
Oh dear.
Oh right. Jesus Christ.
What can I say?
Queef Bad by boy. Me. And dirty queefing!
Oh my goodness. That's right. Very good. Queef by me or stand by me in the arse.
It's all fucked up.
As you guys can see, the more films you see, the more opportunities there are.
Oh my word. Right. So bad.
Anyway. Yeah, Bad Boys for Life. Bad Boys 1 was like it was something new. We didn't know what to expect from that. And some would say it's the first time Nico's favorite director could do a good film in Michael Bay. But yeah, it's that. Bad Boys 2, I had fun with. I heard Bad Boys for Life was coming, and I just felt it's a bit too late. There was something about it that said the gap was just wrong. And I can't remember the gap between 1 and 2 for 2 and 3 to feel weird. But it just felt like you should have quit there. You should have quit there. And I remember some people coming back and saying, have you seen Bad Boys for Life? It's amazing. This is as the global one started to take over. So I was able to catch this on stream. I missed it in cinema because the global one started to shut things down.
Boy, are you happy about that?
When I caught it on stream. And I remember the first thing that caught my eye was, I honestly thought it was part of the makeup. And I'm not ripping Martin Lawrence on this for the fact that he put on weight. But I was like, why have they put him in a similar suit to Big Mama's house? Like, what's the angle of this joke? More and more, I realized that he just genuinely put on weight. And that was the first thing that threw me. Then this story of this, like, one that's trying to pass the torch of who are the bad boys and this villain who's somehow connected to Mike Lowry's past. And I just looked at this film and just thought, this isn't working for me. And I just feel like it. When you appreciate a franchise and there's one that lets you down, it's always going to hurt. This is why Candyman is called Shit Morpheus. You know, there are films that will always let you down. And I feel Bad Boys for Life is that one that just it shouldn't have happened, and it just damaged the franchise. So, yeah, it's not as bad as yours, but hey, we got a few giggles out of it. And it just
not
didn't
as bad hit. As Alone in the Dark. I haven't even seen it.
Bro, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. I don't doubt it. Uwe Boll is yet to impress me, and that's only seen one film.
What happened, brother?
No, but this is what I'm saying. He set the tone with the one film I'd seen. So,
yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
Cool. My number one then. Moment I knew this came out in January, it was game over, man. Ciudad de Deus, City of God.
Now, I'm not going to be an asshole, but you do realize that that is also worthy of the game that we were just playing. I mean, City of Queen.
City of Queen.
But,
sitting
yeah.
in the arse.
Because God's in the ass. Here we go.
Very Greek.
But taking it serious now. Awesome film. Awesome.
One of the all-time great gangster films, bro. It doesn't matter that it's not set in New York or Chicago. Like, this film transcends all that. This is an odyssey, this film. I don't use the O word lightly, but this film really, really is an odyssey from, like, the startings of how gangsters are made and how the favela can just, like, kind of like Bangkok and The Hangover 2, it kind of gets its claws in on you and never lets you go, and it forms you into being something that arguably you never should have been as a sweet innocent child, and then, oh my god, do you change.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to see how two boys who grew up on the same favela went in such different directions.
Yeah.
It's a film for the ages. I would go as far as to say, my favorite foreign movie of the 21st century, more than Parasite, yes, for sure. More than Old Boy, for sure. More than Ringu, for sure. More than King Nadesuan, definitely. Yeah.
Do you know one thing about City of God that sticks to me is I know a lot of people who they don't expand in and I say it, I'm wording it carefully without offending, which I know most of the people here wouldn't get offended by it. The fact that they hear it's a foreign movie, they'll switch off, you know, like, yeah. There are people who won't give Parasite the time of day because it's not for them or what have you.
I don't like reading captions.
Yeah, there are some people, and I listen, I'm not the fastest reader, and I get it. They're like, it goes by too fast. I need it. Like, whether it's dubbed, or, you know, if you're going to go for dubbed, then you're going to give a film a shot, what have you. But the amount of people I know that have given this film a shot, or it landed on them and they ended up catching up the subtitles or catching the dub version and were like, wow. Like, you, this is what I love about this film. More, again, more than your Parasites and what have you. You know, Parasite catches a certain niche market. If you, I mean, I say that, fucking done what it done. But this one here, there are people I didn't ever dream of picturing, seeing a foreign film. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully, who will come back and be like, wow, City of Gods. You know, and that's what I love about this film. It crossed barriers, and it as you said, it's an odyssey. It hits in ways that you can't imagine, and that's what I respect about it.
It's the one, mate. It's a game changer in modern cinema, this film, and not my favorite foreign language film ever. I think Seven Samurais, I don't think is ever going to be taken over in that department, but of the 21st century. Oh, yeah.
It's a big boy. It's a big boy. Yeah. Well played, man. Damn.
Yeah. It's a goodie, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're number one?
Oh, I mean, it's a good film, but it's not as... Yeah, I
feel it's like, not City like, of God.
My, I feel like my top four, when I was quite confident, they've kind of been smacked up recently. But here we go. It's fine. Right. It's one of my favorites. It's the biopic, Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the story of three women of color, three black ladies, let's not call it women of color, people get offended by that term, people of color, who challenged NASA, who changed the game for NASA, who showed what their strength would be in a world where not only being black but also being a woman meant several challenges for them. These women went about and used their brain and helped in, you know, putting man on the moon, essentially. These are some of the brains who were able to discover it. And each one has a different skill set and somehow found each other and had that bond to build into this. And just seeing the challenges that they went through and over, again, I keep repeating myself, I feel, but it's just, you're aware of racism and, you know, it goes, I don't want to bring humor into it, but you know, when you look at Chris Rock and he had, you think you know racism now because a cab won't stop for you? Our granddads were the cab, you know? And this is the thing. You look at what you and I'm not saying it's, you know, stuff like George Floyd out to be like, oh, well, that's a lot better than what they went through. No, I'm not saying that. But you look at the rules, the struggles that were common law, you know, fountains that you're not allowed to go to. A woman's toilet three blocks down the road. Like, it's unfair, it's unjust, it's disgusting. And you know, you're very thankful that we're, you know, times have progressed. Yes, there's a lot more to go, but change has happened, you know. And yeah, this film was one of those highlighting moments for it, and I was taken back and really appreciated it. I remember watching it with my parents during the lockdown. I literally was doing movie nights. The Founder was one of them, and this was another. And it, you know, the inspiration that came with it, that my mom was like, thank you for showing me this. And to have your parents say thank you for showing them something is something I always have as a takeaway.
Yeah, that's a lovely story, mate. And yeah, you've hit all the points, and we've spoken about Hidden Figures before. Yeah. Let's see what people have said as far as their choices are. So Francis Lalonde has said, Silver Screen Dudes, My Rushmore, subject to change. Tremors, 1990. Matinee, 1993. From Dusk Till Dawn, 1996. And The Silence of the Lambs, 1991. Cool. Gavin Mann has said, Lost in Translation, The Lighthouse. My man, putting some Robert Eggers on there. A Bittersweet Life, Hacksaw Ridge, Sexy Beast, Mulholland Drive, Coco, The Favourite, Jojo Rabbit, and Witness for the Prosecution.
Nice. While seeing The Lighthouse, this is more of a Robert Pattinson thing here. Have you seen The King?
The King.
Tell Robert me more. Pattinson and, Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, The Outlaw King.
Is it The Outlaw?
The King, The King, The King.
Yeah.
The King. I've seen bits of The King. I never watched it to the end.
I was getting my hair done yesterday, and that's what my barber was watching. Not my barber, habit. The person doing my hair was watching, and I caught half of it. I'm so pissed off I didn't see the beginning, but it looks like a solid film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually don't know why I never went back to it. I think I was watching it and passing out on a plane and just never picked it up again.
It's on Netflix if you are looking.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why I was watching it.
Oh, right, cool.
Mixed Memorabilia says, My Rushmore, City of God, Snatch, Taken, Tremors. A lot of Tremors coming up on here, huh?
nice.
And Jen said, bad Wi-Fi, so I can't hear much right now, but My Rushmore, 1917, The Fifth Wave, Split, Coco, Silence of the Lambs, Taken, Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, Call Me By Your Name, that was a good
film. Good film too, with Timothy Chalamet. But we can't endorse that because of Army Cannibala.
Yeah, yeah. Right, any more?
No, that's the lot, mate. So I think, Sid, for me, there's three that really should obviously be on there.
City of God and Whiplash, for sure.
City of God and Whiplash and Good Will Hunting.
I was inclined to go that way.
Are you happy to go that way?
And what, Tremors as the public vote?
Yeah.
Sorry, let me just have a look at the others, just in case there was something else I thought like we might have missed as a...
Go for it. Ibrahim, bro, what's your top four or what's your top 10? I haven't heard from you. Pedro, you as well, mate. What's your four or 10? Dead airspace here, AJ. What are we doing?
Yeah, no, I was just checking. Yeah, no, we're good. I was just waiting to see if anyone else was there. Any other comments came up? No, I was just seeing, yeah, like Split, the Taken. Yeah, no, we're good. I think that's that. I think Tremors is the actual group winner on that one, which is fine.
Yep. Cool. Yeah. Let's do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the official movie Mount Rushmore of movies released in January in no particular order is...
City of God.
Our second entry is...
Tremors.
Our third entry is...
Whiplash.
Our final entry into the movie Mount Rushmore of January releases is...
Your move, Captain. Good Will Hunting. Your move, Chief, sorry.
Your move, Chief, and no captain, my captain.
Yeah, that's exactly what I done. Yeah,
I see you. I see you. Do some plugging and we'll wrap this up.
Okay, guys. So, thank you for all the support. Again, now that we, the Silver Screen Dudes, have created the top four, it's over to you to crown El Capitan, El Numero Uno, the best of the best of the best. And to quote Highlander, in the end, there can only be, for AJ Remix, the one. So, how do you do that? You head on over to at Movie MT Rushmore, but more importantly, you can head on over to the person that we'll be retweeting, good old JT from We Love Movies, which is at Movie Polls for You. You will see the poll there, you'll see the four movies, you hit your vote, and next week the winner shall be announced at a much earlier time and on a Tuesday. Right, Nico, anything else you would like to plug, sir?
Could you do the podcast plugging, please, quickly, mate?
I can do indeed. So, guys, tell your friends to tell a friend. How can you just, I ain't got time to watch YouTube. I'm a podcast person. Oh, really? That's good. Because guess what? The Silver Screen Dudes are all over the podcast platforms too. We are on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Podchaser, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and just search for Movie Mount Rushmore. So you see, guys, we are everywhere. So we thank you for that.
Right. Give me a little bit more time, please, okay, brother.
Okay, so... if you have enjoyed everything that we have put out there and you think, you know what, these guys need a little money. These guys look a little thirsty. I could buy these guys a coffee. Well, you know what, guys? You can indeed. All you have to do is head on over to www.buymeacoffee.com/moviedudes. And for the price of your daily Starbucks, or cheaper than your daily Starbucks, you can give us a small donation, as little as £2. Or you can do a monthly subscription for the small price of £5 a month. Either way, guys, we appreciate you. There is no commitment. This is just your way of saying we appreciate you. But even if you don't, we still appreciate you and we thank you. Because guess what? It's 28 past 12 and you guys are still with us. We thank you and we love you.
We do thank you indeed, guys. It's been really blessed. So just a reminder, as of next week, we are going to be back on our normal Tuesday slot.
So, yeah, we'll be back Tuesday. Just confirm with me, AJ, it will be Tuesday at 9, yes?
Yes. Yeah. Because that is a day I've got actually secured. So there is no problems on that. We're good.
Cool. So our topic next week, guys, is going to be the top 10 anime movies.
This is actually really interesting.
Not animation. Anime. Oh, and a quick one from Ibrahim Elmala. My top four, Whiplash, The Patriot, American Psycho, and Spy Game.
Good choice. Good choice.
Nice choices there. And yeah, so topic for next week, Mixed Memorabilia, is top 10 anime movies. And we're going to try and not just do Studio Ghibli. All right.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it.
It's hard.
Yeah. Like everything I found, I'm like, oh, it's Ghibli again. I don't want it to be Ghibli. Like, that's the thing. I'm kind of a newbie when it comes to
Pinocchio is not an anime. It's a animation. Anime is okay. Let's define this now. Anime definition as sponsored by the internet.
It sounds bad, but it
anime is a style of Japanese film and television animation, typically aimed at adults as well as children. It has to be Japanese. That is what anime is. So there will be some Ghibli. Like
it's a guarantee.
You can't avoid the Ghibsters here.
No.
And remember, so manga
is the book.
Manga is the book. It's a common misconception that anime is usually based off of a manga.
Indeed. Because
Dragon Ball Z is both an anime and a manga.
Yeah. The first time I saw anime, my dad used to call it mangas. So that's what I always thought it was. And I realized that manga is the comic book, essentially, or the graphic novel. So, yeah. Learned a lesson myself there. So, yeah. Okay, guys. Once again, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate you guys sticking with us. The continued support is always there. And please tell 5 people to tell 5 people. Tell your people to tell their people is my word as well. So until the next time, guys, I am the one AJ Anthony Jordan.
I am Nico Luro. We will see you guys all next week. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. We out, guys.
Yeah, we out. See ya.